Don Juan seemed to want me to work with the devil's weed as much as possible. This stand was incongruous with his alleged dislike of the power. He explained himself by saying that the time when I had the smoke again was near, and by then I ought to have developed a better knowledge of the power of the devil's weed. He suggested repeatedly that I should at least test the devil's weed with one more sorcery with the lizards. I played with the idea for a long time. Don Juan's urgency increased dramatically until I felt obliged to heed his demand, and one day I made up my mind to divine about some stolen objects. Monday, December 28, 1964. I followed all the instructions meticulously. I drank the potion and waited a while. I felt nothing out of the ordinary. I began rubbing the paste on my temples. I applied it 25 times. Then, quite mechanically, as if I were absent-minded, I spread it repeatedly all over my forehead. I realized my mistake and hurriedly wiped the paste off. My forehead was sweaty. I became feverish. Intense anxiety gripped me, for Don Juan had strongly advised me not to rub the paste on my forehead. The fear changed into a feeling of absolute loneliness, a feeling of being doomed. I was there by myself. If something harmful was going to happen to me, there was no one there to help me. I wanted to run away. I had an alarming sensation of indecision, of not knowing what to do. A flood of thoughts rushed into my mind, flashing with extraordinary speed. I noticed that they were rather strange thoughts. That is, they were strange in the sense that they seemed to come in a different way from ordinary thoughts. I am familiar with the way I think. My thoughts have a definite order that is my own, and any deviation is noticeable. One of the alien thoughts was about a statement made by an author. It was, I vaguely remember, more like a voice or something said somewhere in the background. It happened so fast that it startled me. I paused to consider it, but it changed into an ordinary thought. I was certain I had read the statement, but I could not think of the author's name. I suddenly remembered that it was Alfred Kroeber. Then another alien thought popped up and said that it was not Kroeber, but Georg Simmel who had made the statement. I insisted that it was Kroeber, and the next thing I knew I was in the midst of an argument with myself and had forgotten about my feeling of being doomed. My eyelids were heavy, as though I had taken sleeping pills. Then quite suddenly I woke up, or rather I clearly felt that I had. My first thought was about the time of day. I looked around. I was not in front of the Datura plant. Nonchalantly I accepted the fact that I was undergoing another divinatory experience. It was 12:35 by a clock above my head. I knew it was afternoon. I saw a young man carrying a stack of papers. I was nearly touching him. I saw the veins of his neck pulsating and heard the fast beating of his heart. I had become absorbed in what I was seeing and had not been aware so far of the quality of my thoughts. Then I heard a voice in my ear describing the scene, and I realized that the voice was the alien thought in my mind. I became so engrossed in listening that the scene lost its visual interest for me. I heard the voice at my right ear above my shoulder. It actually created the scene by describing it. But it obeyed my will, because I could stop at any time and examine the details of what it said at my leisure. I heard, saw the entire sequence of the young man's actions. The voice went on explaining them in minute detail, but somehow the action was not important. The little voice was the extraordinary issue. 3 times during the course of the experience, I tried to turn around to see who was talking. I tried to turn my head all the way to the right, or just whirl around unexpectedly, to see if somebody was there. But every time I did it, my vision became blurry. I thought, the reason I cannot turn around is because the scene is not in the realm of ordinary reality. And that thought was my own. From then on, I concentrated my attention on the voice alone. It seemed to come from my shoulder. It was perfectly clear, although it was a small voice. It was, however, not a child's voice or a falsetto voice, but a miniature man's voice. It wasn't my voice either. I presumed it was English that I heard. Whenever I tried deliberately to trap the voice, it subsided altogether or became vague, and the scene faded. I thought of a simile. The voice was like the image created by dust particles in the eyelashes, or the blood vessels in the cornea of the eye, a worm-like shape that can be seen as long as one is not looking at it directly. But the moment one tries to look at it, it shifts out of sight with the movement of the eyeball. I became totally disinterested in the action. As I listened, the voice became more complex. What I thought to be a voice was more like something whispering thoughts into my ear, but that was not accurate. Something was thinking for me, The thoughts were outside myself. I knew that was so because I could hold my own thoughts and the thoughts of the other at the same time. At one point, the voice created scenes acted out by the young man, which had nothing to do with my original question about the lost objects. The young man performed very complex acts. The action had become important again, and I paid no more attention to the voice. I began to lose patience. I wanted to stop. How can I end this, I thought. The voice in my ear said I should go back to the canyon. I asked how, and the voice answered that I should think of my plant. I thought of my plant. Usually I sat in front of it. I had done it so many times that it was quite easy for me to visualize it. I believed that seeing it as I did at that moment was another hallucination, but the voice said I was back. I strained to listen. There was only silence. The datura plant in front of me seemed as real as everything else I had seen, but I could touch it. I could move around. Thursday, December 24th, 1964. Today I narrated the whole experience to Don Juan. As usual, he listened without interrupting me. At the end, we had the following dialogue. You did something very wrong. I know it. It was a very stupid error, an accident. There are no accidents when you deal with the devil's weed. I told you she would test you all the way. As I see it, either you are very strong or the weed really likes you. The center of the forehead is only for the great brujos who know how to handle her power. That is why your act is truly astonishing to me. You had no steps to follow, and we must follow certain steps, because it is in the steps where man finds strength. Without them, we are nothing. We remained silent for hours. He seemed to be immersed in very deep deliberation.